Apostle Emmanuel Eren. And so let us welcome him to the rostrum. In Jesus' name, amen. And let me just say this. I want to say something I heard him say, and I think it is very, very relevant. He said, I heard him say this. He said when things began to happen in his ministry and he would just do things, he said he looked back and realized that he didn't, like others, like some of us, we met Bishop Oyedepo, we went to meet him, but that he was born in the place and grew up in the place. Are you following what I'm saying here? And there's a difference between being poor and making money and having a rich father. I hope you understand what I'm saying. God bless you.
Praise the Lord! Please don't do it just out of duty, but from your heart. Please celebrate Pastor Poju. I honor you, sir. Thank you so much. You know, we have the honor of hosting him in our church in Abuja, and he said something. He said, the Bible commands us to love everybody, but the Bible doesn't command us to like everybody. I just want you all to know, he said, he likes me. I just want you to know. And I felt really special about that until I was listening to another sermon where he was preaching somewhere else and he said the same thing. So but of the people he likes, I know I'm number one. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Father, we honor you. Thank you. The oil of your presence rich in this place. The river is flowing. Your spirit is giving full expression. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We jump right in. The river is dead. Jesus is here. We receive all that you have for us. We open up our hearts and our spirits are receptive. We are living better than we came. Because on this mountain, there is deliverance. And your people are possessing their possession. I thank you for a rhema word, a specific word. This is that Kairos encounter where we receive clarity, we receive precision, we receive audacity, we receive bravery. And 2026 is covered already. Thank you for all the other sessions, for the word that we have received. We are doers and not hearers alone. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Now, the theme of this conference is what? Thy kingdom come. And because I have the great honor and privilege to be one of the earlier speakers, I want to do my best to lay what you may call a theological foundation that all the others can build on. The lineup is like the Avengers, you know. You know, so you just know that something powerful is about to happen. All right, so I want to lay a theological foundation and then we flow from there. I want to talk on pain, purpose, and kingdom. Pain, purpose, and kingdom. And this will be a conclusion of, you know, what I tried to start last year. And the reason it's important to talk about this is because I've been pastoring long enough to see the reaction of many churchgoers, many believers, when they go through pain. You see, one of the things that makes pain almost irrecoverable for many believers is shock. Many believers are shocked. How can I, despite my faithfulness, the fact that I go to church, I give my offerings, I serve in the choir, how can I go through this? It's the shock. And I think we need to balance the curricula in that aspect. Because I want you to understand, you see, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. I know you are faithful, I know you are prayerful, But in this world, you will have tribulations. It's part of the fabric of the demands of existence. You will just go through something once in your life that if your foundation is not strong, you're going to struggle. You see, Jesus said, he that hears these words of mine and does it, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. He says, the rain will come and the storm will come, but his house will still be standing. You know what many charismatic people do? They rebuke the rain, they rebuke the storm. No, that's not the variable. Whether you like it or not, there are some storms, there are some rains that you will have to face. And the difference will be your foundation. A lot of people have this Christian El Dorado expectation that because I am faithful in Christ Jesus, there will be no storms. You know, I heard Pastor Podge say this, I think it was 2007, and it stuck with me. He said, if many people were like Joseph, and they were interpreting a dream, that there was going to be 7 years of plenty, and then thereafter 7 years of famine, you know what they would do? They will be rebuking the years of famine. That anything that we say that I will enjoy now and suffer later, what are you waiting for? You get? And so, we must be a people of brilliant fire that know the place of prayer, the place of planning, the place of wisdom and common sense. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? And so, one of the things that differentiates us as believers, one of the things that tests how solid you are as a child of God, is how you handle pain. Because we react to pain differently. You know what Paul told the church at Thessalonica? He said, concerning those that sleep, he said, I'm writing so that you don't mourn like they that have no hope. It means we mourn differently. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? We react to pain differently. And there is a school, a curriculum to prepare you for that. You need it all. I pray for you. What kills others will make you stronger. So what are the things that you must know about handling pain? Number one, it must never change your view about God. You know, when we talk about the woman with the issue of blood, we talk about how prolific the testimony and the miracle was. But you know, there is something on the side that people don't talk about that challenges me all the time. Do you know what it means to be bleeding every day for 12 years? You have a hemorrhage, and then you hear that a miracle worker is in town, and without anybody needing to persuade you that Jesus still works miracles, on your own, you take yourself out of the house and you say to yourself, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Do you know how remarkable that is? Not everybody has that kind of stamina to still believe God in spite of contradiction. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, let me tell you something. I'm just wired different, I believe. Because you see, what many people honor about someone like Smith Wigglesworth, thank God for that. But what touched me the most was when I heard he had a daughter who was deaf. Do you know what it means to have a contradiction in your house and still be a miracle worker? Are you getting what I'm saying? It takes a different dimension of faith that in spite of the proximity of what seems to be a contradiction, you hold on to the word of God. It's a total, come on, are you getting what I'm saying? That 12 years after, she still believes that God works miracles. You have not started to revisit your conviction and to say, well, you know, this miracle business, I don't really know. She said to herself, nobody preached to her. She preached to herself, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Let me use this as an opportunity to prophesy. You've waited a decade. This is your year. Your amen ought to be louder than that. This is a prophetic atmosphere. I said you waited a decade, but this is your year. You waited 8 years, but this is your year. You waited 6 years, but this is your year. And you are leaving Wolfbeck with your evidence. The Lord is asking me to tell a lady specifically, Samuel is coming this year, this year, this year, this year. It is a confirmation for you. You wrote the name somewhere. Oh. So there is that. Don't change. While you're waiting for the pain to change, make sure the pain doesn't change you. And it's very subtle. You don't realize it. So, you know, it is either of two things. It is either you keep coming to church, but there is a part of you, you know, you keep hearing the messages, you're nodding your head, but you don't really want to expose yourself to that kind of vulnerability, to throw yourself into the will of God, expecting him to move and to be disappointed again. You are playing it safe. The same Abraham that believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness, the same Abraham years later now said, let Ishmael live before you. You know, God said it and he laughed. Don't change your view about God. Help me preach that to someone by your side. There just might be someone here who needs this word. Don't change your view about God. Are you listening to me? The next one, which is the crux of my sermon, don't change your passion for service, for ministry. Let me tell you something. One of the things that pain does, immediately it exposes your priorities. The things that you throw away to pay attention to the situation you're dealing with, reveal your priorities. And some people, the first thing they do, they drop out of the service unit, they'll just leave the WhatsApp group, you know, leave the church, you know, and when you call them, they expect you to understand. You know, I'm dealing with this. They expect you to understand. You must embrace what I call the counterintuition of faith. That what you would naturally do, which is to run away, to hide, to keep to yourself, to avoid fellowship, avoid accountability, God expects you to do the opposite. I know it's crazy, but I'm going to show you in the word of God right now. And so since the theme is thy kingdom come, as we expect the miracles and expect all those things, let us start with this foundation. In Matthew 6:33, a text that we know all too well, just to remind you, it says, the first word there is but, is a disruptive word, as if it's interrupting whatever else has been your priority. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He says, and all these things shall be added unto you. Before I tell you what this text means, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. Because there are many people in church who say, I want a job. Or I want a spouse. I've been trusting God for marital settlement. I'm late in my 30s, maybe early 40s, trusting God for marital settlement. Or trusting God for a child. How do I get a child? And you encounter Matthew 6:33. So because you want a child, and you have been told that the way is to seek God first, you seek God first so that you can get a child. Listen, I know it doesn't seem wrong, but let me put it to you this way. If you are seeking God first so that something can happen, you are not seeking God first, you are seeking those things first. It's very subtle. You may not notice it until you come to a point that you are seeking God for God's sake and for no other sake. Only then can you say you are seeking God first. You are not seeking what the kingdom can do. You are seeking the kingdom himself. That's very important. So this is what it means. It means that even though you are trusting for a healing, trusting for a spouse, and trusting for a child, if God should x-ray your heart, standing at the top of your priorities, far above every other thing, towering above every other desire, will be God. I want to fulfill your will for my life. I want to walk in your purpose. I want to see the doors of nations that have been hostile to the kingdom, to the gospel, opened all over the world. I want to see souls saved. I want to see people filled with the Spirit. I want to see people knowing you the way I know you. Now, here is the balance. Let me explain it to you this way. I like to give to people I love. It's sometimes a bit of an extreme. I have a bit of a savior complex. So I like to give to the people I love, my family. You know, I like to spoil the people that are in my inner circle. And let me use my wife, for example. She has had to maybe change cars 5 times. No, not just for luxury, but for functionality. All right, 5 times. And out of the 5 times, 4.5 times, I was the one who changed it. Now, I said 4.5 because the one time she dropped half, I dropped half. So, and not because she's broke. I am trusting God that no matter how much money she has, there are just some things I like to do for her. Are you listening to me now? I just like to do that one. But imagine how disappointing it will be to discover that she married me for money. She couldn't have. I was broke when she married me. But just for example, are you getting what I'm saying? So I like to do it, but that cannot be and should not be the reason that she's... See, somewhere in my heart, I know that no matter how tough things get, that woman will stay. I know. Because of the state in which she met me and chose to marry me, I know. You know, when I look at throwbacks, I'm just like, this woman must have been crazy. What was she thinking? What I'm saying is that the benefit must never become the condition. Seek God first, and all these things shall be added. The benefit must never become the condition. Some of us treat God as if he's on probation. Somewhere in our mind, we have given him a timeline. I'm trying you out. Heal me. Otherwise, even Shango go see me for church. We treat God like he's on probation. Are you going to do it or not? Let's know how we are doing. Seek God as ultimate priority. Now, let me bring it to your context. Just look at the context of the text. Look at verse 25. See, only a man of faith can embrace this. Are you learning anything, please? Now, look at verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, take no thought. What? Listen to me. This is one of the texts that we know is there, but many of us don't do. We just think, God, I understand what you're trying to say, but this is too much. How do you say, take no thought? I should not be worried. If I ask you, if you're being honest, to lift your hands if you're worried about some things, you'll be shocked. It's right there. Take no thought about your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. So I said, this is the counterintuitiveness of faith. The natural thing, January 1st, is to start obsessing. Children's school fees. How do I do? Hey, this economy. Oh, I just lost my job. How do I? God said, don't worry about it. Even I admit, it's easier said than done. Come on, are you listening to me? Is it in your Bible or not? And then he tells you why. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? You know, he's telling you that some of us can fall into the trap of worrying so much we forget to live. Listen to me. I know you've been praying so much, but you've forgotten to live. When was the last time you even noticed any other thing happening around you? I understand the legitimate concern for your health. I know what it means. Or at least I have a clue. It's hard to see anything else when you're going through so much pain. But he said, life is more than raiment. Since you lost your job, you haven't been yourself. You've been depressed. Everybody has consoled you. You haven't moved on. Since you lost that relationship, they served you hot breakfast, hot. You haven't been yourself. And you come to church, but God knows you are beefing him. God knows it. You've hidden it. The person by your side doesn't know what I'm saying, but you know what I'm saying. You've forgotten to live. There are other good things happening in your life you don't pay attention to. You don't, for the past 10 years, you haven't prayed about any other thing. You haven't appreciated any other thing. And the counterintuition of faith is this, that when people are beaten by serpents in Israel, when God wants to heal them, he lifts up a brazen serpent. Now listen, to be healed, you must look away from the wound and look at the cross. Are you listening to me? This is the spiritual parable of Christianity. You look away from the pain and you look to Jesus. Easier said than done. What do you mean that people are bleeding? People are poisoned and they must look away from the pain and look to the brazen serpent? That's the metaphor of faith in Christ. As the brazen serpent was lifted, so has Christ been lifted. And to truly live as a believer, you will many times have to look away from the pain. And now, this is the counterintuition. When you were looking at the pain, it was still there. When you look to Jesus, that's where healing begins. Are you listening to me? It is a requirement. I said it's counterintuitive. It is a requirement for healing that you look away from the pain. I want to give you a new priority. Seek first. Just start asking God, okay, what do you want to do with my life? What would I have done if I was healed? Then go and do those things. Are you listening to me? Don't allow the pain to change you. It is normal in this generation to find somebody who no longer goes for naming ceremonies because they are trusting for a child. Who no longer goes for weddings because they are trusting for a spouse. Those things have become normal. We expect people to understand. And I will show you in the Word of God. Many times, the contradiction in your life is the way out of the pain. I want to show you something. I hope it blesses you as much as it blessed me. Are you ready for this one? You know, the Bible tells us about Abraham. Abraham met Abimelech, called his wife his sister. And so Abimelech wanted to... he carried Sarah to his bosom. Now listen, when you discover some inconsistencies in your account, you think he's being hacked, what do? You first block everything, right? You call the bank, say block everything. You have to understand the salvation plan was tied to procreation, the lineage of Abraham. So when heaven saw Sarah in Abimelech's bedroom, they blocked. No man had an erection for the... God was guarding the salvation plan. And so now, the women... their wombs were shut, everything, shut down. Everything was shut down. And so after Abimelech said, you heard the man. He said, he's his sister. I didn't know. God said, yeah, I prevented you from sinning against me. And then he said, call for him. He's a prophet. He will pray for you and your household, and they'll be healed. By the way, that's the first healing recorded in the Bible. For all you know about Abraham, man of faith, business model, he's a prophet. The first healing in the Bible, that's it. But there is a part of that story you've never thought about. So here is, let me read it to you first. This is going to bless you. Are you ready for this? Genesis 20, verse 17 and 18. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Then they bore children, for the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So now, Abraham is laying hands on the women who are barren, and their wombs are opening, and he's doing all of this whilst his own wife, had been trusting for the fruit of the womb, and he's laying hands on other women trusting for the fruit of the womb, and their wombs are opening. See, I am telling you, see, it's normal for people in ministry to encounter a contradiction and just put ministry on the shelf. They retire instantly. They cannot deal with the contradiction. But I'm telling you, never allow it. Are you listening to me? I came here for somebody that in spite of that contradiction, your wife is going through the same thing. But listen, even when God said pray, you didn't doubt. Do you know this? There are some people who can't even deal with that to begin with. Some people won't even try. If I had the anointing, it would be working for me. It doesn't always work that way. And anyone who has done ministry for a while knows what I'm talking about. Sometimes you can't handle. How come it's still working? It's working for others. You know, there was a time I dislocated my wrist. For almost 2 years, I was carrying a pain on my wrist. And I will lay hands on people. I will feel the power flow through that wrist, heal people, and the pain will be there. I will go home after church, tie my wrist with bandage, almost crying in the night. Listen to me. You hung your boot. Go and carry it. There's a call on your life. Go again, man of God. Are you listening to me? Go again. Go again. Go again. And guess what? Listen, I read to you verses 18, 17 and 18, right? Now look at the next chapter, verse 1. The next chapter is chapter 21, verse 1. Everybody, loud as you can, want to go. Listen to me. Abraham had done everything. He looked to the stars, believed, attended a church program, gave, waited, nothing worked until he started blessing others in the very area he was trusting. It was after that. If you get what I'm saying, I can go home. That's what I came to tell you. It was after that. You know, and the reason this is counterintuitive is because the normal thing to do when you're going through a trial is to run away. Meanwhile, it is when Job looked away from his pain and started praying for others that he was healed. I am telling you, the pain is the way out. If you learn what I'm saying, some of you, that pain is about to give birth to a ministry that is about to shake the world. I'm telling you, that same pain. The Lord visited Sarah, as he has said. Abraham had done everything else until he blessed people having the same problem. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Can I have three ladies here, please? I want to, three ladies and a guy, maybe from the choir. Thank you very much. You sang beautifully, by the way. Come. You know, can I have somebody who is done having children? You are done having children. Thank you. Come. Are you done? If you're done, no, you are done having children. Is your husband in agreement? Okay, come. Go on. You know? The last time I gave this illustration, my wife wanted to come and say, "My friend, sit down. We'll still talk about it." Hallelujah. Please, you come this way. Now, this is the prophetic parable. In every church, there will be Simeons. In every church, there will be Annas. In every church, there will be Elizabeths and there will be Marys. This is a prophetic parable. Think about Anna. The Bible said she was born to a prophetic lineage, served the Lord all her life, was celibate, married as a virgin, did everything right, everything that they told her to do in church. And then 7 years after her husband died, God forbid. Are you getting what I'm saying? 7 years after, somebody else would have just said, you know, this Christianity thing, how can I serve God with my life? And she's wondering, after all my faithfulness, is this what I get? She could have stopped going to church, but instead she threw herself even more into ministry, went into the temple and was waiting for the day that the Messiah was going to walk through the doors. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? And then you have Elizabeth. Like I said, it's a continuation of what I shared last year. Elizabeth, both she and her husband are from prophetic lineages, was doing everything right, and she's trusting for a child. If the Bible didn't tell us that she was righteous, he would have accused her, because we like to assume that if people don't have some things, there's something they are doing wrong. He was righteous. He did nothing wrong. But she was just waiting. You have Simeon. In every church, there is Simeon. Simeon doesn't have any problem. He's just traveling, you know, because God has told him that he will soon see the consolation of Israel, that the Messiah is coming. So that the people in every church, they're like, in fact, any other program, curricular activity, they're like, what are we doing? Let's travel. Something, a revival is coming. You know, there are people like that in every church. And then there will be people like Mary. There are some people who are complaining about not having children, or maybe complaining about having children late. There are some people who are like, this child came too early. What do you mean I'm pregnant? How come? In all these cases, they have occasion to leave the church. Maybe Mary would not have been able to handle the scandal. How do I explain to people I'm leaving? Maybe Elizabeth will not be able to handle everybody looking at her as if she's not prayerful enough, she's not faithful enough, and leave the church. Maybe Anna will get tired. But guess what? All their destinies were tied to Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? All their destinies. So as they looked beyond themselves and pursued the will of God, all their destinies were fulfilled in Christ. That, listen, Mary had to carry that baby because of the assignment that Christ had. He had to be born of a virgin. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? And then Elizabeth, I told you last year, the reason why Elizabeth had to wait is not because she was not prayerful. It's not because she was not giving her offerings. It is because the child she was going to have was supposed to be the forerunner of the Messiah. So until the Messiah is ready to be born, she has to wait. Follow this closely. And eventually, when they meet each other in church, the deep calls unto deep. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is just a connection. Listen, individually, we are struggling. But when we come together, a revival is happening. I don't understand it. I'm still trusting for God to do something in my own life. But when we come together, something is happening. Are you getting what I'm saying? Sometimes, some people can't understand this. And if you're not careful, people will even talk you out of it. You see, the church you're attending is blessed. What about you? Haven't you heard things like that? And then the child is eventually born. Simeon is wondering why he has long life. He thinks, oh, because I'm prayerful. That's why. But God had told him he will not die until he sees the consolation of Israel. So because of their faithfulness, the child is born. He comes to the temple for dedication. Anna sees him and rejoices. Simeon lifts him and says, ah, now my soul can rest in hope. All their destinies found fulfillment in Christ. Listen to me. If you will look beyond yourself and start saying, Lord, what is my purpose in this church? What is my purpose in the body of Christ? What is my purpose? It's an irony many times that upon the revelation of Christ will be the revelation of yourself. That when Peter by the Spirit says you are the Christ, Son of the living God, God will now say you are Peter upon this rock. See, when you pursue the corporate vision, your individual vision will be sorted. Do you understand what I just said? Thank you all very much. God bless you. Thank you. So, whatever it is that you're trusting the Lord for, if you would have the audacity to put this aside and put God first, there is power in it. Let me tell you something. A church that is selfish can't achieve much corporately. Yes. If all of us begin to pursue the things that we are looking for personally, we'll be pulling at different ends. What will sustain revival is that every one of us will look beyond our needs and come together and say, Lord, do a work in us. Do a work in this generation. This is what makes a church strong. Another scripture. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5 to 9. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5 to 9. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is so powerful. Please pay attention to this. He goes on to tell you that God became a man, was obedient unto death, the death of the cross, you know, and God also has highly exalted him. Listen, everything you believe to be saved is also a mentality to imbibe. Let me take it again. To be saved, you must believe that Jesus died for you, rose again the third day. But in that message is not just a message to believe, but an example to emulate. So he said, let this mind, this mentality be in you. What is that mentality? That he, being in the form of God, did not consider equality with God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. There's a mystery here. Every time I'm sharing from this text, I like, for lack of a better illustration, I like to say this. And every time I think about it, I laugh. When I was in secondary school, I decided to participate in the inter-house sports. And of all the things that my mates were doing, 100-meter dash, relay race, high jump, I decided to join March Past. And as you can imagine, I was the only guy there. It's my fault. So they said, let us do something, you know, that will make us win, captivative. So they called another guy, and, you know, so we became two. They said, I will climb the guy's shoulder, then I will free fall. They told the ladies to stand behind and do their hand like this, and I will free fall and they will catch me. I climbed the shoulder. I look back. Are you sure? They say, yes, don't worry. Are you sure? They said, yes. As I was free falling like this, you know what they did? When they saw me coming, you know how ladies do? They say, ah, and run away. I landed, hit my head, bah. See, you know those things in cartoons where you see stars? I don't know how they got those things. That thing is real. I just saw stars everywhere, first blur. But listen, there's a principle there. If he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, even if you know it is part of the plan to free fall, die, and you'll be raised up the third day, to go through it, you must trust in the power of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? So he's saying, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, to willfully come, be obedient unto death, the death of the cross, wherefore God also is highly exalted. How do you allow pain? It is because you trust God so much. David prophesied it. He said, you will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. Come on, I get what I'm saying. He says, therefore, my soul will rest in hope. Do you know what it means? To trust God so much that, see, even if I die, he can raise me up. It's a perspective to pain, I'm telling you. He won't mismanage my life. He will not mismanage my life. He will not mismanage my life. He will not mismanage. I trust him with my life. Being confident of this very thing. He who has begun a good work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We are counted as sheep for slaughter. I can die protecting my faith in this message. Nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of Christ. Nothing. I'm persuaded. Oh my God. I thought this should be stirring you up. I said, I'm persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor devils, nor any such thing will be able to separate me. The devil thought that because of those trials, you will stop coming to church. You will stop believing. You will stop singing. But here you are. Here you are. Here you are. Here you are. Therefore, we are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us, more than conquerors, more than conquerors, more than conquerors. You know, have you ever done a play fight with a child before? And when the child punches you, you pretend as if it hurts you. You know, how is it that you can play fight with a child, but you can't play with an adult? The reason you can play fight with a child is because, you know, even the largest blow can't pull you down. So now, by the Spirit, we have seen the arsenal of the devil, and there is no weapon there that can obliterate the plan of God for our lives. This is what gives us the confidence to forge ahead. This is why the Bible says, count it all joy. When you go through diverse tests, come on, count it all joy. I said, count it all joy. Count it all joy. You know how Paul put it? He says, pressed down but not destroyed. It meaning, I was under pressure but I didn't die. Did you hear what I said? It pressed me but I didn't die. If we pass the microphone to tell people to share their testimonies, you'll be amazed. The amount of pressure people went through and they were still coming to church, praising the Lord, singing. Struck down but not destroyed. Persecuted, not forsaken. Struck down but not destroyed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just go ahead and pray in the Spirit right now. Pray in the Spirit right now. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's an old song that we used to sing. I want you to sing it from your heart. It says, my lifetime. Don't worry, choir. I just want to hear the audience. I will give God. And if you do, he won't mismanage your lives. Say, my life. Yeah. Single conviction, say, if I give God my life, I know brag for the world to hear, say, he will never. Listen to me. The ultimate example in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned, that the obstacle is the way out. When we talk about Joseph, there is something we almost always miss. We just think about the fact that he could interpret dreams. But have you noticed that all through Joseph's life, his character didn't change? Immediately, find the text for me. When he was sold to slavery, standing on the platform, being unctioned. Okay, so who is going to buy him for 5,000, 5,000, 5,000, going, 5,000. Who is going to buy him for 10,000? Have you seen how they do those things? They stripped him of his coat of many colors. He was naked. And right there, the Bible says, and Joseph was a prosperous man. You know what that means? It means that his prosperity wasn't coming from his wallet, from his bank account, from his clothes, from his cars, but from his spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? Right there on that platform, stripped of all he had, and Joseph was a prosperous man. And that's how come, even in Potiphar's house, he prospered. Listen, not once was it recorded that Joseph complained. And God, God, is this what you promised me? I was on my own. You said I would be this torn, and stars will bow to me. This is what I'm going through. Not once. You know, there is something about the patriarchs of faith, the tenacity they had, that when that patriarch dug a well and they seized it, he didn't cry. He just dug another one. See, it's a fabric of faith. Eh? A consistency and a constance that can wear the devil out. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's the Philistines that will be tired. Listen, that business failed. Go again! I'm speaking as a prophet, oh, this is not good advice. I said, it failed. Go again! By the anointing of the Holy Ghost, go again! Dig other wells. But listen, of all that happened in Joseph's life, never forget this. Despite his ability to interpret dreams, his coming out of prison was dependent on one thing. It was dependent on his ability to still be hospitable in spite of pain. That despite all he had gone through, he woke up one morning and saw the baker sad. And he took initiative to go to the baker and say, why are you sad? Are you aware that if he didn't do that, he wouldn't have heard the dream, interpreted it, he wouldn't have come out? Are you listening to me at all? If it is someone else, they will be so much shut up in their pains to notice other people's pains. I said ministry is the way out. One thing the devil is causing in many lives is to use pain to distract others from purpose. So when you are in prison and you can still do ministry, you are still willing to use your gifts to interpret dreams. That is the secret. That you can see people looking moody and you say, why are you sad? And when they tell you the dream, you don't remember, you don't say, it is this dream that put me in trouble in the first place. Some of you, because of ministry hurts, you have shot your bowels of spiritual compassion. You are still willing to interpret it. That was his ticket out. I think because you have been here since morning, you are a little tired. Shake the person by your side. Say, go again, go again, go again. This word, I sense that this word is for you. Go again! As I round off, four quick ways to handle tough times. Are you ready for this? Number one, agree that it doesn't have to work your way. God doesn't have to do it the way you want him to do it. Don't let society tell you what is early and what is late. Both Mary and Elizabeth gave birth at the right time. Mary thought she was too early. Elizabeth thought she was too late. Both of them were wrong. They gave birth at the right time. Agree. God doesn't have to do it your way. If you try to pray, if God answers all your prayers, you'll be in trouble. Because, you know, I think it was Apostle Simon who said it, and very, very, very spot on. He said, if you were Joseph, what prayer will you pray in Potiphar's house? God, send me back to my father's house. That's what you will pray. Part of trusting the providence of God is admitting that you don't know so much. You cannot see far beyond your feet. There is one who is lamp unto your feet, light to your path. Trust him. And in his supernatural navigation, things may happen. You may take bends that you did not anticipate. It is part of growing up to trust him. Hey, see, there is a powerful lesson in Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane. Are you ready for this? Because we think that part of the requirement of the prayer of faith is that we must have it figured out. And that we pray with specificity, without doubt, without entertaining any other options. And then you will have what you say. But Jesus said, if it is possible. Or was he in doubt? Was he in doubt? You know what this teaches me? You know, as a man of God, I struggle many times because some people, you know, something happened. We're having our morning prayers, and I saw a vision very clear. I saw one of our members in Birmingham. I said, there's somebody in Birmingham, your documentation has expired. You have been praying for God to extend it. This is the word of the Lord. Come back. You see the reaction. So, let me tell you something. As men of God, especially those strong in the prophetic, sometimes we indulge you. You come with the passport, pray for you. I know you are not going anywhere. But lest you say I'm a bad pastor, I'll just do cross on it. Go. So there's a way. Let me expose pastors. If you hear, the will of the Lord be done. Mm. They're trying to tell you. The Lord's weeping. No? Pastor Tokwe is laughing. I don't expose you. If you say, the will of the Lord, the Lord's will be done. Just know. He does not want to tell you what he has said. Can there be another way? Can there be? Sometimes, surrender your life. Let God do his thing. Let me ask you a question. Be honest though. When you look back in retrospect, is there any prayer point you are glad God did not answer? You know, when I look at my old prayer journals, I just didn't laugh. I was foolish. I saw one. Lord, let our church have 120 members. He? I covered this. God, sorry, you. Hey? Because in management class, they taught you goals. S, specific. M, measurable. So I just thought, we are 60, 120. Lord. And the next thing you do, thank God. This one sometimes is hard because there are different types of praise. It's easy to praise when good things happen. There is a category of praise called the sacrifice of praise. It's not easy at all. You do it with tears in your eyes. You do it out of faith. Because if you look from a carnal standpoint, it looks like there is nothing to be happy about. Nothing to be excited about. But listen, the word of God says to count it all joy when you go through diverse tests. So you have to see with the eyes of the Spirit to praise God in that circumstance. The Bible says Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. This is a prophetic moment. Can I give you 20 seconds to give God praise right now? Oh, come on. Come on. You can do better than that. Glory, glory, glory. There's a song that says, in my life, Lord, I see what you're doing. One more time. Come on. I lift my head, seeing the praise. Give him the glory. I lift. Do it again. I praise you. Do it from your heart. Hey, yeah. Oh, I praise you. Hey, hey. Sing from your spirit, say, in my life. If you have your shakere, I want to hear it. I see. Time. Hey, hey, hey. I lift my. I lift. The media team will have to translate this next one for the international audience. But it says, Majobalo. Come on, sing from your heart. This is a praise break right now. A prophetic moment. Amen. Amen. Come on, sing. Obatakole. Alakaratakole. Ha, 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 ha. We enjoy your reign. Come on. Oh, I give you 20 seconds. Give him the praise. 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 In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Please be seated. I have 5 more minutes. Number 3, throw yourself into the service of God. All the things the devil taught you will not do if you were going through pain, do them. In fact, do more. Throw yourself. You know, I told you this last year. I said, many times the devil causes pain, causes sicknesses, causes poverty and all those things. But there are also people that the devil gives money. You know that, don't you? There are people who will go to shrines, cook up some concoctions, and the devil will give them money. It tells you that the devil is neither after poverty nor riches. The devil is after anything that will make you jettison your purpose. That's his goal. Some people, he will achieve that, or he will try to achieve that through prosperity. Some people, there is a kind of alert. If it enters their phone now, this is the last time we'll see them in church. But guess what? There are some people, poverty drives them to God. You will pray more, you will fast more. So those people, the devil doesn't attack their finances at all. Come on, are you listening to me? So you need spiritual intelligence. And just make sure in season and out of season that you are serving the Lord. Say loud amen. Yeah. You know, there's one of the great blessings to the body of Christ. You know, sometimes when I look at his life, I say, if the devil knew, he would have left this man alone. Because it's like it's pain that is propelling him. Pain. Pain. There is a kind of anointing that is on the other end of pain. You talk with an authority no one else can. Are you listening to me? And then the final thing I want to say before I drop the mic, celebrate others. Pray for others. Thank God for others. You know, Reverend Charles, Reverend Izunwa, Reverend George Izunwa told the story because he had taught his members, anything you are trusting God for, if you see anyone else enjoying that thing, celebrate it. So these women had formed a group because they were trusting for the fruit of the womb. Now, at Kairos, they just turned on the radio, and on the radio, they heard of a woman who gave birth to triplets and ran away. Like, how will I? I think the husband ran away. How will we pay the bills and all of that? Even just two of us, we were struggling to survive. Now, triplets, you know, that's the irony of life. The things you are praying for, others are looking down on, but none of my business. When they heard that on the radio, they said, this is our chance. So they went to the hospital, paid for all the bills, put the children on scholarship, did all those things. And then months after, one of the women just noticed no period again. So she went to the hospital. They confirmed she was pregnant. By the next scan, they checked. They saw 2 babies. By the next scan, they checked. They saw 3. By the next scan, they checked. They saw 4. After about a decade of barrenness. This is a hack right here. I said the pain is the way out. Yeah? That when God wants to heal a people who were beaten with serpents, it is a serpent too. A brazen serpent that they will look at. Sometimes, the healing will require daring it in the face, looking at Jesus. You can heal. It's a small thing for him. Are you getting what I'm saying? The pain is the way out. I'm going to give you a few seconds. I have 1 more minute. Stand to your feet, please, before I drop the mic. Let's make this 1 minute count. The song Domwen wrote that year, I have made you too small in my heart. I have believed in the lie that you were unable to save me, but be magnified in my life. I give you a few seconds. We don't have the time to sing it. Lord, in any way that allowed the pain to change me, I jettisoned the assignment you gave me. I put you on probation. Whatever it is I did, adjusting to the pain, I repent. 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 In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Say this to me. Say, I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Not life, nor death, nor nakedness, nor peril, nor sword. Say, in spite of it all, I'm more than a conqueror. Say, I'm at Warbeck to refire. I'm returning with a new anointing. I'm returning with a new anointing and grace. With a new determination. I go further by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Say, it will be done. Say this, I pick up my mantle again. And I do all that God has asked me to do. Give Jesus praise from your heart. God bless you.